You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to get brutally honest.
I'd like to go for 2024.
Okay,
I already said that.
I didn't realize you were there. I thought you'd fallen asleep. It's the first thing you said in 5 minutes.
I am a little tired right now.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I think if you did a poll on which band dominated peeler joints, Van Halen would have to be up there.
Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah, Motley Crue.
It's
gas.
Motley Crue, hands down. And then you could probably throw Van Halen, a lot of 80s hair metal, like
Guns N' Roses gets a lot of mine.
Rat. Remember Rat? Round and round. Like there's...
Round and round. That just took me back to the Peeler joint.
You are so happy right
Play
now.
That song, but man. Then I want to hear it right now.
But then there's also like the Scorpions where they slow it
round
down.
Round and round.
Like there's the ballads where they lay the blanket out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they must hit up Adele hard for that one these days, no? Can you see me?
Well, that's what you have to wonder. Like, when does the playlist get updated?
I don't know.
Peeler joint's been around forever.
Imagine the blanket goes down. Hello?
There you go.
Then you go to the bass song with this one.
Holy.
Yeah, this is not coming off, so feel free to talk over.
Can we play this whole song?
Yeah.
I guess we can. Why not, right?
It's a one-off, so I believe we can.
This is to all those gents in your pickup trucks that love ripper joints.
Anyway, Bob McKenzie will be in studio in about 20 minutes. Listen to this song.
Dude, crank this. Just get to the one main verse and then you can cut it off. But you better crank it.
No, right here.
I knew right from the beginning that you would end up with it.
That's the Scorpions.
Yeah, I've heard that song before. Yeah,
you know what? Kyle just sent in a note too. Def Leppard, a little Pour Some Sugar on Me.
That might be the number one song.
That could be the biggest.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. Pour Some Sugar on Me. It's
Now, Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yes. Kickstart. My Heart is a big one.
The Crew has...
Yeah, Motley Crue's well-known.
GNR. There's lots. You go right around the horn.
God, that's an awesome song.
I don't think I've been to the establishment like that in a while. I'm trying to think.
I wonder if they've updated any of their songs. I don't know, man. Someone texting in saying that he's dated a peeler, and they picked their own songs.
Really?
I did not know that. I figured the DJ was the guy kind of calling the shots there, but maybe not. Leafs Rangers tonight on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7:30. Pregame at 7. Leafs have won two in a row. Neither game was necessarily perfect. You know, the Carolina game was a strange one because Curtis McElhinney played so well,
right,
and allowed them to get their legs under them. And once they got the ball rolling, they took off. They won that game 4-0. So by the third period, you felt pretty comfortable. You know, we were just fawning over that Jets-Leaf game all day yesterday. We were talking about how entertaining it was, how fun it was.
It was great.
I'm sure the coach didn't find it so entertaining.
Which I hate, though. I hate when coaches have to come out and...
They just care about the 2 points and defense and checking.
But if you only care about the 2 points, why would Babcock be upset?
This is just like you said, PK Subban should be on every team, the World Cup team, for entertainment value.
But
that's where you lose your mind temporarily and you get off track.
I said that about the World Cup.
That's the stupidest thing either of us have ever heard. For entertainment value.
But call it a bad take, but it was a made-up event.
Right.
All about the bottom line.
Yeah,
all
but
about
Mike
the money.
Babcock's coaching the team.
Okay, great.
What do you think he's going to sit in a boardroom in a meeting and say, we've got to look at the entertainment value here.
Do you think he has the final say on anything? I don't. Not for Team Canada.
For player personnel, yes, he does.
I don't believe that for a second.
I think he's a big part of it. I think
he's a big part of it. I didn't say he wasn't a big part of it. Do I think he has the right to say this is my team? I don't think so.
No, I think it's a collective. I mean, Bergevin would have been involved in that. Everyone, that management team. What I'm saying is, you know why Mike Babcock and coaches wouldn't have liked that? I'll use an analytics term. Sustainability. Because you play like that, you're playing with fire. Giving up 40 a night, giving up high-quality chances. Because if McElhinney just plays an average game that night, what do they lose? They lose 6-4, and
against
maybe they
Carolina?
Don't get four goals.
No, they're probably down in the tank, and then
down
and who knows how they respond.
So that's where I think a coach is saying, great, we'll take the points, throw the tape in the garbage if we have to, maybe. But overall, we want to play this way to have success. I think that's why you're getting frustrated and saying, well, the coach shouldn't be pissed off. I don't think he's pissed off because he's happy with 2 points. What he's saying is, great catch, don't ever do it again type of thing, or let's head down that path.
Sure, there's a Lou Brown element to it.
Right.
But I didn't think the Leafs were playing overly flashy or cocky. It wasn't like Willie Mays Hayes. They didn't catch the ball with their hat, metaphorically speaking.
No, there was just a couple. I think there was a couple plays that he probably said, remember I was saying a year from now, they're probably not going to do that from experience.
100%. But this is where, and I know that you're asking for the impossibility here because Babcock, any coach is wired
in such
an extreme way where they very rarely accept anything.
Right.
And very rarely deal with reality in terms of the fact that they can't change it. You know,
right.
I'm sure he's a cocky guy. Every coach in the league is cocky. They should be cocky. Any pro athlete is cocky. They made it to the ultimate dance. But in a situation where the Leafs currently stand, this is what you got.
Right.
You're third place in your division 59 games into the year. Strap a smile on every once in a while and say, man, that was a fun game. Wild game. Can't believe it. Credit to Willie for doing what he did. Credit to Matthews for doing what he did. But it's just, I know it's not going to happen. I know fighting a fight here that I simply can't win because no coach ever thinks that way.
Ken Hitchcock, Brett Hull told me they'd be up in Dallas 3-1 with 10 minutes left in the game. Literally controlling the whole game. And Hitch would still have a problem with their play. That's just how coaches are wired.
And that's the problem. Like, that is just something that I...
But what do you think it's a problem for? That's you understand
that's
what goes on, right?
I know that's what goes on. But that's why guys run out of rope. That's why guys, we always say it, coaches, they have an expiration date.
And
well, you know what
because
happens
of
if
that.
You go in there and say, guys, just go out there and make some plays, see what happens. You get killed.
That's what Lindy Ruff does.
Yeah.
But there are examples, though, of coaches who seem to be supportive, seem to be good-loving, fun-loving guys.
One guy, Q.
Quinville. I'll give you another guy in the NFL, Pete Carroll.
Okay.
Every time you watch Pete Carroll, you see him. He's laughing. He's hugging guys. Great work. They won a Super Bowl. They went to back-to-back Super
Bowls. Brings in Snoop to practice. All that kind of stuff.
I guess what I'm saying is there are different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There are.
You're right.
If a coach ever got to a point where they said, you know what, I'm just going to say that was a fun game.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That the inmates are running the asylum all of a sudden? No, that's not the case.
We were playing against the Leafs one time. It was in the old Maple Leaf Garden. And Grant Fear stood on his head. It was an embarrassment. The Leafs were all over us. And Fearsy stood on his head. And Al MacInnis, I don't know if you would remember this game, but Al MacInnis scored with maybe a second left from center ice on Felix Potvin to win the game.
Really?
It was a 1-1 game.
I don't remember that.
And it was a nasty, like, Al used to have this skipping slap shot where he would shoot the puck into the ice, and it would hover and then bounce in front of the goaltender. Felix Potvin went to catch it on the ice with his glove, and it hit in front of him and went top shelf, bar down. And all I remember, Joel Quinville yelling on the bench, call the cops! He was howling, because we had no business being in that game. We stole 2 points, boys! And, like...
There you go.
Like there.
How fun would that be?
That would be fun, but it just doesn't exist.
You
talked about two great examples, Q and Pete Carroll. Other than that,
but Q
Bill Belichick. Do you think he ever says that? Call the cops. We stole 2 points.
No.
He fires guys.
Yeah, he's always on top of guys. He's always intense. And I get it. And it works. I'm not who am I to sit here and say Belichick hasn't figured it out or Babcock hasn't figured it out. These guys have a pretty good formula and a pretty good system. And I'm not talking about exclusively doing this.
You're saying a one-off.
Yeah.
Like the other night.
Like the other night. Would it, and Babcock, to be fair to Babcock, we're putting words in his mouth. I don't remember. Maybe he did, but I don't recall him coming out and saying, I hated that game or anything stupid like that. But if he came out and said, wow, wasn't that fun? That was a wild game back and forth. What a cool. That'd be great if we played Winnipeg more often. What? All of a sudden, Matthews would stop back-checking because of that? No, I don't think that would be the case.
I would have just liked to have seen behind closed doors. He may have walked in and said, boys, great game tonight.
It was a big two points.
He's a positive reinforcement guy. As much as he plays the hard ass in public, the players like playing for him.
You know what? He's been very supportive of his players since he got here.
And he fights for guys.
He does. And last year would have been the most difficult year of his career, I would think.
For sure.
He was told, and he was a part of the plan, that we're going to tank. Our objective is to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
That's difficult for a guy to handle. And everyone has mood swings. I don't remember him coming in at any point last year, and it was like, wow, he's going to lose it. He handled himself really well. And this year he's got a really young team that has a tendency to let it get away from them in terms of the style of play.
Right.
They're a high-wire act, and yet he's been very supportive of his guys.
He has.
For the most part. And I think that's someone who understands where they are in this trajectory towards being a championship caliber team. They're still in the early, early stages.
Well, that's
Isn't it amazing, though? One thing you think about Mike Babcock, he doesn't really, Auston Matthews is not brought up to his attention a lot. You don't hear him comment on that a lot.
He lets everyone else do it. Because everyone's talking about the guy all the time. What's he going to add, I guess?
Plus, Auston hasn't had a stretch where you're like, geez, he's playing really bad hockey.
He hasn't had to defend him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There hasn't been a five-game stretch where you're like, geez, what's wrong with Auston Matthews? It's going to happen in his career at some point. But this season, when he went 13 without a goal, we were on the show saying, yeah, you'd like the production, but he's getting chances, he's missing nets, he's squeezing a little bit here and there, but he was still playing well in his own zone. So you're right, he hasn't had to defend him. So when you're not defending a player and just letting him work through it, I don't think you had to come out and talk about him.
It's a bit dangerous because SportsCenter's up on in the studio and insider trading's happening, and we obviously don't have the audio, but the board is up, and I guess Dreger was just talking about how the Leafs are still suitors for Kevin Shattenkirk. And we'll get McKenzie in here in about 10 minutes, get him to expand on that idea, but I'm still not convinced Shattenkirk's getting traded first and foremost. Secondly, the price, if Ron Hainsey's getting a second-round pick...
What's Shattenkirk?
Shattenkirk's at least a first and more than that. The Leafs, they're not paying that for a rental player. There's no way.
Right.
Well, and if they did, they've lost their minds. That just wouldn't, I can't imagine that would make any sense based on everything they've done the past 18 months.
Unless it's a trade and sign.
Sign him in on July 1st. It's exactly like what we talked about last year with Stamkos. People were saying, well, if Stamkos, would you, it was hypothetical because clearly the Leafs more than likely weren't going to do it. Trade for him, and then he got his rights, and then sign him long-term. On July 1st, if he really wants to be a Leaf, he can still be a Leaf. Why give up assets for a guy who you can talk to for free in 5 months?
But maybe here's the only thing I can think of, and I don't know if this would be truthful. Maybe he's like, I want to try the market out first before I commit. Because if he's going to sign a 7-year deal at X amount of dollars, that's a massive commitment. Wouldn't you want to take it for a test drive?
Well, I heard Doug Armstrong a couple weeks ago saying, we have to figure out what we are going into the trade deadline. They fired their coach. They won. They're on the right track. Don't they want to keep him now?
I would think so.
But they're
well into a playoff spot at this point.
They are, but you have to be careful that if he walks, and there's a chance he will, good chance, you've lost a tremendous asset for nothing. Backus walked.
But you're going to get cap space for him, right? The cap space opens up. But
I'm just saying, you've got to answer to an owner saying, hold on, we've got assets here that if you didn't believe you were going to win a cup or you didn't believe that, should you get something for it?
I think that can go both ways with the owner, though, because the owner might sit there and say, wait a minute, you think you can get through to the second round and give me six home playoff dates?
Right.
That's going to make me $12, $15 million. Mm-hmm. Keep Shat Kirk if he's going to help you do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I who knows the way owners think.
But that thought process has come across people's desks for sure.
For sure. And that's why they're the owners and they have the right to be privy to all that information. Bob McKenzie in about 10 minutes. The Raptors did make a trade today, acquiring P.J. Tucker. We had Jack on in the previous hour. Loves this move. He's a good rebounder, good defensive player, depth guy, hard-nosed type player. Same with Ibaka. And Jack hit the nail on the head. He said, really, the Raptors at times this year have played soft basketball. So bring in a couple of guys with a more hardened DNA, and maybe it changes up the way you play going forward. We'll touch on that later in the hour. I want to quickly get to this Jameis Winston story. He was at some school down in Tampa.
This is odd.
It's very bizarre. And he's got a backstory, right? Like, he's been accused.
Didn't he get in a bar fight with a female?
Yeah, he was accused of rape when he was at FSU, and he didn't end up getting charged, but there's a lot of belief that the school and the police department kind of made it go away. He was a superstar. Remember, he stole the crab legs out of that
superstore. Like,
yeah, he showed up at that rally and was like screaming and swearing, and they're like, what are you doing? They had to suspend him for a game because of that. I don't get the impression like he's the sharpest tool in the shed. He's a great football player. He's a first overall pick. He had a really quality breakout year this year. I think he's going to be very good for the next 10 or 15 years. But he's 23 years old, and he showed up at some school, Melrose Elementary School, and addressed a bunch of school students, boys and girls today. And I don't know what his intention was, but he brought it down a road that is leading to a lot of buzz, because he was asking all the boys to stand up. And he said, boys, stand up. Ladies, you sit down. And he started hyping up the boys, like what you have to be do to be a man and to be strong and this and that. And then he says, quote, but the ladies, they're supposed to be silent, polite, gentle. My men are supposed to be strong. And so it's clearly led to people saying, wait a minute, we all have daughters. I don't want to hear some idiot tell my daughter to sit down and be silent and polite and gentle. But it raises a bigger question.
The question is, what the hell's going through your head?
Well, and
you're there
why
to talk to the kids and motivate like that.
But my question is, why are you trying to motivate in terms of life lessons when you're a 23-year-old coddled superstar player? What do you really know?
Yeah, what are you going to
about life?
Past.
Yeah, with a very checkered past. You can be an inspiration based on what you've accomplished, your work ethic.
Right.
You can show up and say, this is what I went through, this is what I did, and that can be very inspiring. But I also place it to an extent, even though you don't know exactly what
on
they're
the
going to say. But on the school, this kid is 23 years old.
Yeah.
We all have kids. Would I want Austin Matthews telling my kid about how you get through life? What does he know about how you get through life?
It's you're bang
You
on.
Haven't lived a real life yet.
And that's on the school. This guy has a checkered past. At least Austin Matthews...
Right, I'm not comparing the two in terms of what their history
is. This guy is more like Chris
Brown.
So
when your daughter's in grade five and I walked in for a motivational speech, would you be like...
Yeah, I'd be concerned.
No, you've lived the life. You know, you've gone through some things. You've got a backstory here. If you were in Carolina and you were 22 or 23, I'd be like, come in and talk about how cool it is to be a Hurricane. Make it a feel-good story. Don't start telling me... what you got to do with your life. This is what's important. That's what's important.
Stand
this
up,
is how
sit
you do.
Down.
You
this
stand
is,
up. You sit down.
You don't
down.
Need life lessons from a tool,
exactly.
Basically.
For starters, not the smartest guy to begin with, but a 23-year-old superstar who's been coddled his whole life. I'm not sure exactly what you were expecting out of his life advice.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where you're at now, if you're at that school. Bob McKenzie will join us in studio. We'll get into what the insiders were just talking about on SportsCenter. Kevin Shattenkirk, the Maple Leafs, are they still linked? We'll tee up the game tonight, and we'll get into the trade from earlier today. Ron Hainsey going from Carolina to Pittsburgh for a second rounder. Does that set the market? Second round pick for Ron Hainsey. Bobby Mack in studio next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, we're here until 7. Then the pregame takes over from there, O'Sullivan and Taddy. Rangers Leafs tonight on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7:30. Bob McKenzie in studio. The Hockey Insider is brought to you by Financing. Getting closer to the trade deadline, Bob.
Yeah, if there is.
Are we feeling good about that or what?
No.
No?
I think it's going to be quiet. Maybe move some rentals. I'll be surprised if we get hockey deals. Famous last words as soon as I say that.
Yeah.
The blockbusters left, right, and center. But and my guess, my sense of it is that Colorado is more likely to do big stuff in the summer. Teams that are looking to do something really significant for players with contract or term. Outside chance it happens between now and the deadline. So we're left with rentals. And a lot of the rentals, quite frankly, if you look at them in terms of the magnitude of where they fit on the hockey scale, kind of guys who, if they were traded in October, November, you'd say, that's nice.
Right. Well, would Ron Hainsey apply there? I mean,
yeah,
second round pick, though.
Hey, listen, Hainsey's an effective National Hockey League depth defenseman at this stage of his career. So what it does, what we've seen here in the last week is a little bit of the setting of the rental market. So Michael Stone goes from Arizona to Calgary for a third-round pick, but Arizona has to pick up half the salary. And then Carolina trades Hainsey to Pittsburgh for a second-round pick, but they have to pick up half the salary. So what that tells me is right now the going rate for depth rental defenseman, because that's what Stone, you know, he's a four or a five or a six. Hainsey would be more of a third-pair guy at this stage of his career, although he's got an element, both either power play or penalty kill. But in any case, so second or third-round picks for depth defensemen if you take back half the salary. If you don't take back half the salary, then the draft pick would probably be lower. But that doesn't set the price for a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk.
Well, it sets up for an interesting conundrum, potentially anyway, for the Maple Leafs and Roman Polak, who would be in the same vein, third-pairing depth guy. The Leafs would have the ability to eat half the contract. Yet, unlike Carolina, unlike Arizona, they're currently in a playoff spot. How do you think that would play out if a team called up and said, we'll give you a second for Polak?
My guess is, and it's just a guess, the Leafs would say no.
Really?
Now, if they've got another defenseman they like better, but based on the way they play Polak, do they have another defenseman right now that they like better?
Could the Marchenko kid be playing for his spot tonight?
Well, we're going to find out here. Yeah. He's going to get some time now.
Is there enough that this is what worries me? Say it's a great game, and then
I understand. You know, buy low, sell high, sign a free agent, parlay him into a draft pick, and the Leafs did a great job in that last year doing that with multiple guys. But they're at a different phase right now. They want to make the playoffs. And in fact, I think, you know, I don't want to say they're aggressively looking at things they can do, but they put a value on making the playoffs. Now, if they think that Roman Polak doesn't help them make the playoffs and they get a second-round pick, then great, they move him. But I think based on the usage we've seen from Roman Polak this year, I mean, he's pretty consistently been in their top six. So unless they've got somebody else that Mike Babcock likes better to put in the top six, my guess is that they thing and I know, you know, Darren Dreger reported that the Leafs were apparently kicking tires on Shattenkirk in St. Louis. And listen, I think they've kicked tires on Brian Boyle in Tampa. We talked about the need for fourth line guy. They want to improve their faceoff ability. So as I said, organizationally, I don't think they're sitting there saying, we must make the playoffs. We're gonna sacrifice our future to make the playoffs right now. What I think they're saying is we put a value on making the playoffs because we want to make the playoffs because we think that's what Matthews and Nylander and Marner and Hyman and Brown and Soshnikov and Riley and Zaitsev and all our young guys are going to benefit from playing playoff hockey. They're going to get that much better, that much quicker if we can make the playoffs. So then it's just a matter of figuring out, okay, so what cost? So now if it's going to cost them first-round picks, I don't see the Leafs doing that. And that's what it would cost to get Boyle, I think, out of Tampa. Shattenkirk, the asking price right now is a first-round pick, a top prospect, and something else.
They're not doing that.
Leafs are not doing that.
No.
I don't think. Not a chance in the world.
No.
Now, you know, is there a face-off man out there who's a real good center that might be a top three-line guy instead of a top four-line guy? They certainly have the ability financially to do it. They can kick this thing up to the cap and invoke enough LTIR to bring just about anybody in. So if you can get a guy for extra assets that don't harpoon your future or set you back on your ability to try and make the playoffs this year, then they may knock themselves out.
I think what we'll be curious over the next 6 months will be them showing their hand as to what they value more, the upcoming draft picks or some of the pieces they have in the system. In other words, if a team called up right now and said, you pick your poison. You want our player. You'd either give us this draft pick or Josh Levo. What do you want to do? Because they've got Levo now, who's proven that he can play. I mean, it's a short chance, a small sample size, but still, Kapanen's having a good year prior to the injury anyway. You know, they got a couple of other kids that are there, but then they got draft picks too.
They have the ability to do it, and I think they can go either way depending on what it is that's coming back. I think the Leafs have enough depth that they could make one of those moves if they. That's discretionary in my mind. It's not. I don't think it's off the table. Like if somebody calls up and says, and again, the Kapanen thing's hard because he's coming off an injury, but he should be back fairly soon. He was lights out before he got injured. He was on the fast track to maybe being up here after the trade deadline and taking the place of somebody that if they need to move him at the deadline, they can. Because we already know that if everybody's healthy, if Marner comes back and Levo keeps playing the way that Levo's playing, they got too many.
Something has to happen.
Somebody's right. Soshnikov's going to be out of the lineup, or somebody's going to be out of the lineup.
Yeah,
and that's a good problem to have. And then keeping in mind that you've got Kapanen in the wings, you've got potentially Brendan Leipzig in the wings. You know, so but I don't think you know the Leafs are not giving up future assets like Dermott's a real good defenseman in the American Hockey League that could challenge for a spot on the team next year. Andrew Nielsen's still way too young in his development curve. I don't see the Leafs giving up any of those kind of things because they don't have a lot. You know, they need to improve their defense, and ultimately they may improve it from within over the next 2 or 3 years using guys like that.
Well, and that's why I'm curious to see how this Marchenko kid fits in tonight, because he's stepping in. He's going to be paired with Gardner, so he's going to play minutes.
Yep, right.
And who, you know, they claim them off waivers, so you have to take it all with a grain of salt. Detroit, if this guy was a legitimate stud player, he wouldn't be on waivers to begin with. But, you know, Carrick is not a guy who I think is locked into a lineup. Right? Like, I think he's played pretty well for a young kid.
I think they like him. I think they consider him one of their six or seven.
Yeah. So, okay. So Marchenko.
He's an NHL player.
Right. That's how you would define him, as a guy who's sticking around.
No. Does he, at some point, if he plays well, does he go by Marincin on the depth chart?
Mm-hmm. I think he's by him.
Marchenko? Well, ever since Marincin had those 3 or 4 awful games in a row, he's not even getting a sniff.
He is sniffing around Corradoville. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
That's
witness protection.
But Mike Babcock's had a lot more time for Martin Marincin than he ever did for Frankie Corrado.
Got a lot more time for him than I do, I'll tell you that.
I don't think he will anymore. I really don't. I'm not sure.
What's your over-under, him getting back into the lineup?
Well, I guess it would depend on injury, but
sounds like a Jerry percentage.
Yeah, yes. It sounds like a Jerry's, and I would say 20%. He was awful. Like he has not had a good year. And in those last 3 or 4 games before they finally pulled him. Remember that game at Boston? I think that might have been his final game. It was in it. You could not play him anymore after that.
I haven't seen a lot of Marchenko, so we'll see. He's a big body. And, you know, Ray Ferraro seen him a lot because when Marchenko and Ray's son Landon played together in Grand Rapids.
Right.
So Ray likes him.
Ray likes him a lot. It says he's a big body, skates okay, good first pass, and reliable. So, I mean, you just described a defenseman that Mike Babcock could potentially fall in love with.
Yeah,
he's 6'3" all day long.
Right, exactly.
And if he's reliable and makes a good first pass, then he may be off to the races. So we'll see. But they did also the Leaf thing, which is they didn't just bring him in on waivers and then slap him into the lineup the first night. It's like,
sit here and marinate.
But, you know, and it's kind of like you've got Mike Babcock from the Detroit organization. Brendan Shanahan spent a lot of time in the Detroit organization. And you can see that they like to take a page out of what we probably can't call it that anymore. But for the longest time, everybody called it the Detroit model, was that, you know, every young guy has to spend time in the minors. And obviously guys like Matthews and Marner blow that out of the water. But you even saw it last year. You know,
Marner went back.
But Marner went back to junior.
Nylander.
Nylander and Hyman and Soshnikov and all these guys had significant minor time before they got called up after the deadline. And, you know, that word that you use, marinate, they like the, in a perfect world, to get somebody and give them their best chance of success and not just throw them in the lineup, have them play bad, and then everybody say, oh, that guy's no good. Even, you know, and we can sit here and say, you know what, Levo's been so good. The Leafs were so wrong about him. And you know what? Maybe they were so wrong. They should have put him in the lineup a lot sooner than that. But there's also a school of thought that one of the reasons he's so good right now is because they've been bag skating him for months, and that the area of his game that needed the most amount of work was first step skating, and that he's done nothing but work on that for months on end. Maybe that's one of the reasons why. And listen, right. I'm a big Levo. I was always a big Levo booster. I saw him in junior hockey, and I said, I think that guy's an NHL player. So he's got a great shot, and he's got a little bite to him. Plays, you know, get his nose dirty, and so we'll see.
Hey, he's been good for them recently, and he'll be back in the lineup tonight. Leafs Rangers on TSN 1050, puck drop at 7:30. The Rangers, we've been trying to define them throughout the day, in terms of whether or not we would consider them an elite team, truly cup competitive team. I would put them. I have Washington, Pittsburgh up here.
Oh yeah,
and then I go into that second group. I think I would have them in a second group though, with the likes of Minnesota, Chicago, San Jose. I guess you have to include Columbus too, based on the way they played.
Yeah, I don't know why I do it, but I separate East and West, and because ultimately you can't. There's no crossover until the Cup Final.
Sure, so you don't even have to compare.
So you don't have to. So yeah, so Washington, Pittsburgh, on another level from everybody in the Eastern Conference, and then comes basically everybody else in the Metro Division. And then, you know, where do you blur the line between the lower end guys in the Metro Division and Montreal, Ottawa, Boston, Toronto, Florida, Tampa's coming now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a jumble. There's almost nothing to separate them.
Well, and that's interesting that you say it, because I think you're spot on with Montreal, where a month and a half ago, Montreal we would have included on a bit of a different level.
Yeah.
And now they've played themselves into a race.
I assumed at the beginning, it's funny how your perception changes. At the beginning of the year, I thought Washington and Pittsburgh were up there, but I thought Montreal and maybe Tampa would be with them.
Yeah.
That there might be a big four in the Eastern Conference, and then there'd be a big drop-off. And what we've seen is a big two and then a big drop-off.
In their own division,
mm-hmm.
which is, I'm with you. Tampa, I've said this many, many times, but they're the most disappointing team of the season. And I know Stamkos, his injury
lately,
factors.
Though.
Yeah, they're only four out.
Yeah, they're getting hot.
They're playing some of their best hockey, and Bishop's getting hot now.
Yeah.
And
the
triplets were back together again this week, and they were firing on all cylinders. And
how far is Stammer away?
You know what? I know he's skating, but I that's a pretty serious injury he had. 4 months, they said a 4 to 6 month injury, and 4 months would take you to the middle of March. Okay. And he's skating, so everybody's kind of, their ears perk up. Oh, he's skating, he's shooting, and man, that's a. And my understanding is the surgery he had was pretty extensive. I'm surprised he's skating,
really.
But so we'll just take it a little bit of a time. But I don't know. I don't know if you saw the comments from Zach Parise, who had very similar surgery to Stamkos. He says, "Yeah, I was back in whatever it was, 5 or 6 months." He says, "But took me a year and a half before I felt right."
That's the worst part about it, is he was just coming back from that broken leg. It felt like he broke his leg in Boston or whatever, that day game back in 13 November or 14. 11. Yeah, and it just took him a while to get going, but it felt like he was going again. And then this happens. And we've been doing this. This is the third time in 3 or 4 years the Stamkos watch is on. When is he going to play? When's he going to play? How's he going to play? How's it going to factor in? I mean,
it's like Tiger Woods. Tiger's back.
Stamkos, in a way, is kind of like the Tiger Woods in the NHL. When is he going to get back? And if he does get back, what's going to happen next? It's almost like you expect something major to happen. This guy's had huge injuries.
And in between the broken leg and the chewed-up knee, he had like a blood clot.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know,
that one's like right out of left field.
Yeah, totally unpredictable.
Yeah.
Couldn't see it coming. Had to get like a rib taken out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or half a rib or something?
Same with Vasilevsky. They had the exact same injury.
Yeah, exactly.
That's scary. All right, Bob.
Hang on a sec.
Okay.
We're thinking about starting a lasagna company. Do you have any clever names that we could call our lasagna company?
Hmm. He didn't give me enough time to think about.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What do I look like? Like
food connoisseur?
You're one of the smartest guys I know.
Yeah, but you're going to spit an answer out for you in like 3 seconds at the end of a segment.
He did it to Ray.
He did it to
Jack Armstrong too.
No, I didn't ask Jack.
You should have asked the question at the beginning, let it marinate for the show,
exactly,
and then come out. That was kind of a douchey thing.
There was a couple like the Brandy. What was the Brandy?
Brandy Lovett, thanks.
Brandy Lovett, thanks. There was the tight tuck.
Yeah.
The tight tuck lasagna.
Brian Hayes made a lasagna for my birthday today, and it was the best lasagna I've ever had.
Really? Did he make it himself?
Yeah,
he did.
Bob, I have picks.
No help?
Well.
Oh, come on.
There was someone around. I mean, I needed some supervision.
Mean?
So your wife put it together?
Yeah. No, she didn't. I'm telling you. I browned the beef. I fired up the cheese.
O likes to muck his food.
Right.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
Why don't we call it Muckin' Good Lasagna?
Yes.
Muckin' Good Lasagna.
That is the best name we've had.
I really like Brian Hayes.
Muckin' Good Lasagna.
Yes.
That is unreal.
And you know what you could do? For the logo, you can put extra M's at the beginning, so it's
Yes. Look at this guy. You are the smartest guy we know.
That is unreal.
Get that at Costco right now.
That is what we were looking for.
Yes.
And you delivered.
Muckin' Good Lasagna.
Is there going to be a delivery for the lasagna, too?
Oh, yeah. I'll hook you up.
We would have saved you a piece, but it didn't last.
Muckin' Good Lasagna.
We left a little piece out there, and Sean Levine went to town on it like it was.
He almost ate the
glass. Like he was going to an electric chair.
I'll show you a picture of it, Bob. You're going to be impressed.
It was
some of my finest work.
Muckin' Good Lasagna. I don't even like saying that.
I know. You got to be careful.
It's a weird one to say.
I would say it's fraught with peril.
Right.
Yeah.
You really got to emphasize the
Muckin' Good Lasagna.
Be careful with that. All right, Bob. We'll see you on That's Hockey.
Thanks, boys.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. And the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. Monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. That's it right there. We don't write anything anymore. We don't need to see anything else. It's over. Best bets, 3 stars, whole 9 coming up. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Hit a Leaf-friendly winner last night. I'm going to throw 4 games out today because I'm taking a lot of favorites. Montreal, I think they're going to start rolling a bit. They got the Islanders at home tonight. I'll take the Habs. I'm taking Tampa at home against Calgary. Nashville at home against Colorado. Chicago at home against Arizona. So you have to lay down 4 different games, but they're all home favorites against mediocre to below mediocre teams. Throw down 20, you can score 70. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game.
I kind of hung in there today. I thought that lasagna was going to kill me.
I think we ate it early enough that our 4 o'clock hour was a little bit sluggish, and then after it wore off, I think we dug in.
Yeah,
I'll be completely honest, though. The Bob McKenzie segment, I was in Mars.
I looked over at you a few times, and I was wondering where your head was at.
I don't know what happened.
Well, Bob was talking, so then...
It was like a combo between you and Bob, and I just said, I mailed it in, I guess.
Well, you just said you're out.
Yeah, it was essentially me and Bob.
You pay attention. I looked. I was...
You were kind of involved over there, Noodles. Yeah,
You
chimed in. You had a couple of comments, and you asked him about lasagna.
That
was a good thing.
That was at the end of the segment.
Well, you're right, though.
I'm getting some cheese and meat side burps, though. You get that or no?
Yeah, it's a heavy meal, man. We ate almost 4 hours ago, and I'm not hungry.
I feel like a bear, like just snuggling into the cave after a feed.
And you got a birthday night ahead of you.
That's right,
man. Wow.
41.
41, boys.
I'd kill to be 41 again.
You would stop at 41? You wouldn't go back further if you could?
40 was great.
You enjoyed 40?
Yeah.
I retired
Why did you enjoy 40?
Well, we went on a boys' trip to New York. So fun.
Okay, so the trip, there was a weekend when you were 40 that was a lot of fun.
Yes, my birthday weekend.
All right.
I have the same birthday as a close buddy, or he's the day after. So we always do a boys' weekend. There was 12 of us who went to New York.
I'm craving a boys' weekend. Yeah. Craving one.
Like
we were
one.
In Austin back in September, I guess it was. I think every 6 months you should have you like a big weekend away with the boys. It's
every mandatory. 6 months?
If you can
more
pull
than
it off.
That. Every 3 months, really, if you can. But I
get one a year.
We're on once a year right now with my crew because one of our guys is still playing and other one guys are married, kids, and all hell breaks loose. But we make it once a year. And this year could be a 40 for one of the guys and a retirement. So
that will be a large
that
weekend.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, see, I've got a couple of buddies. Like, we're pushing, generally it's the bachelor parties, right?
Yeah.
So we're pushing for engagements. But a couple of guys recently said they don't really want to do anything. So all, like, the married guys with kids are, like, ready to strangle this guy. Because he's like, no, I'd rather not have, like, a big weekend.
And an engagement weekend?
No. Like, when he gets engaged for the bachelor party, right? You got to get engaged before you can launch into the bachelor party ideas. But after the last one, he was like, I'd rather just not really do anything. We pulled him aside, like a couple of the married guys.
You're like, dude.
Said, you understand this isn't for you, you selfish.
Yeah.
S-O-B. You know what?
You know what? Like, how dare you say that publicly? You're going on a bachelor party. I don't care if you hate every second of it. We're going
Leave
somewhere.
Him at home.
Yeah, you don't even have to come. Now, you have to disappear so your wife thinks that you're not around so that it doesn't spread that we all went without you.
Right.
But I don't care if you really come.
Yeah.
But not for him. I'm going somewhere.
It's not for him. It's for you.
Exactly.
That's the way I feel about it.
I'm with you. Are you ready for the Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day brought to you by Bab Sox?
Yes.
Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day.
I'll go first with the 3rd star. Okay. Masai Ujiri acquiring P.J. Tucker today. Didn't give up much. 2 future 2nd-round picks and Jared Sullinger. Also, Serge Ibaka from a week ago. Kept a bunch of the kids, improved the team, more hard-nosed. Shout out to Masai Ujiri and Jeff Weltman, the Raptors in general.
2nd star, mucking good lasagna.
Yes.
Bob McKenzie.
And your lasagna.
No, I was
and myself
give him
and my
first
lasagna.
Star. First star for okay. the lasagna.
Give it to the big guy on his birthday.
No.
Hold on. I'm not done yet.
All right.
Lasagna, for the reason being, 41 years old, Jeff O'Neill.
Love it.
So Bobby Mack at number 2. Hayes and O-Dog number 1 with the lasagna and the birthday.
Thank you for that.
Love it, thanks.
I got in there, 1st star on your birthday. Who would have thunk?
Brandy Lovett, thanks.
Brandy Lovett, thank. Mucking good lasagna.
The man, Overdrive. That's got a ring to it.
It does.
Overdrive.
Man.
The Overdrive 3 Stars of the Day is brought to you by Bab Sox. Add a little grit to your wardrobe with hockey's greatest game, their ritual. Pull up your Bab Sox and support the team. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.